Are you up for the word of God now?
Yes.
How much does your effort cost? How much does your effort cost? Is it valuable? Is it a good investment? I always say that we must have result from every effort, from every time we sweat our t-shirt, we deserve something because we have done something. Nobody can expect result from something that you have not planted, that you have not done anything about it. But every time we spend our effort, we spend money, we spend resources doing something, we actually deserve results. Amen?
Amen.
To tell the person next to you, you deserve to see results.
Amen.
Okay. How much does your effort cost? This is the theme of our meditation this morning. I want to read for you 1 Corinthians, the first letter from Paul to Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 27. I'm going to read, as always do, New King James Version. Are you there?
Yes.
If not, you can follow us there. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do for an imperishable crown. 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body, Paul said. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this reading. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing time that we can share your word and bring into the table some principles, important principles from your word. Something that is essential for our lives in victory. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. I pray that you may speak to us today in a very good way. And we just want to say we have our heart, mind, and soul totally open for you right now. And come, Lord Jesus, and teach us everything from your word is prepared for us today. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today after the service, we want to have a meeting with every member of this church, okay? So I want to ask you, please, not to go home as soon as, don't rush today. Let us spend a few minutes. I'm not gonna be long, just about 3 hours now. My wife and I, we want to share something important with you guys, all the members of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Okay, Jesus never promised us that our life would be easier. Life is not easy. Life is not easy. He never said that we would never be persecuted. But he also promised that with them are struggling, he would be with us always, giving us strength, encouragement, and when he encouraging us to keep us going and never give up. Amen. Say with me, I'm not called to give up. I'm not called to give up. We are called to keep fighting. Amen. Tell somebody, life is not easy. And let me tell you another thing. If somebody preached the gospel to you saying, life with Jesus is easy, let me know if you learn a gospel like this, I'm going to preach the true one. Because Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have affliction, trials and tribulations. But Jesus said, I overcame the world. Amen. He just said it. I overcame the world. And if you are in Him, you are going to overcome also. Amen?
Amen?
So we are not called to give up. As a result of that, we will certainly get the victory by His power. So what should we learn from this very simple passage that Paul says? Can you imagine this? Paul said it. We are talking about Apostle Paul. He said, I subject my body and I put my body into a position to serve God, because even though I preach and many people come to Jesus through me, I cannot be disqualified. I should not be disqualified. You know? So if the Apostle Paul said it, how much more I should say about me? I need to subject my body also. Because even though preaching, saving people, touching people's lives, I can be disqualified if I do not keep my focus on the run, on the race, on my mission. So every single one of us, we have a mission. We learned about it last Sunday. So the first principle I want to bring up to you right now from this passage is, number one, working for God, we must be confident concerning the results. Do you love results?
Of course. Yes.
Every time you do something and you see results, it's something like a new toy, isn't it? Something like a new toy. We are so glad when we can see results. And let me tell you something. God never leaves us alone. While we are working His mission, God is always with us. God is always giving us guidance, direction, the way to go, the way to do something. He wants to fulfill His promises in us and give us the compensation. Say with me, compensation.
Compensation.
Compensation is like a reward. It's like a gift because you did something good. So you work in your job for the whole month. When you come in the end of the month and you receive your salary, this is not a gift. This is a debt they have with you because you have done some job. Alright? So reward is not a gift. Reward is a debt that somebody pay you back for what you have done. So God He has the same mentality. He knows when you are working for Him. He knows when you are in a mission. He knows when you are available to be used by Him to do something. And he wants to compensate you. He wants you to see results of your job, the results of your effort. So how much does your effort cost? We never know. Depends on the way you put your effort in. So God says in Isaiah 55:11, this is a phenomenal promise from God. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void." Amen?
Amen.
"But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send those words." So every time you are used by God to say something, to bless something, to build something, every time you do something towards God's plan for you, actually, those words, those actions, everything you did will never come back to God void, but will bring effect. Maybe you don't see effect at the right moment. Maybe you don't see the results in that very moment. Maybe you don't see results in the same week. Maybe you don't see the results even the same year. But things that you have done, you are going to see the result. Amen? Sometimes I'm amazed because we preach everywhere. When I go away, when I go to Brazil, when I go to other places, we are always sharing the word of God. And sometimes God used some people. It's amazing because sometimes we wake up in the morning and say, "Wow, I'm not feeling well. I'm feeling very useless." And you know, all of a sudden, a message comes to my phone or an email comes to us. "Pastor, I'm this and this. I was in this service in the day, you were there preaching, and I can tell you every single point of your message, and since from that day on, my life changed." I said, "Wow, I don't even know this guy. I never seen him before." And exactly in the day I was feeling myself like rubbish, this message came through and put my, not my ego, but put my self-esteem up again. It's not amazing, friends. When you receive some words of praise, especially in a day you are a little bit down, or don't you think Pastor feel a little bit down? We are not Supermen. We are not Supermen. This week I was feeling a bit down one day, and I said, "I think I'm gonna go to the gym now and do some exercise. At least I'm gonna get very tired and I'm gonna relax a little bit." When I was almost getting the gym, I was talking to somebody on the phone. You know, when I saw down there, he was right there talking to me. Ross was talking to me. I said, "Hey, you're talking to me here." I went down and we spent some time in a very short conversation, and that was amazing. And you know what? I gave up going to the gym and came back to my house. Because my wife needed the car, you know. So I was totally prepared to go to the gym. One more day I
finished.
It's amazing when we receive some words of comfort that lift us up, give us some strength, because that is part of the result God gives to you. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, success doesn't happen by accident. Do you know that? Success doesn't come like a parachute in your life, in your real garden. Success doesn't happen by accident, but it's a fruit of our effort. Say it with me. Our effort. Success doesn't happen by accident, but it's a fruit of our effort. So Jesus, good results come from a good investment. You know? So every time you decide to invest in something, give your best. Give your best. Because according to the quality of the seed you throw, you're going to receive a fruit. Amen? Yeah. So if you throw a good seed of apple, one day you're going to reap good apples. Amen?
Yeah.
But if you get some seed that is not good quality, it's a bit dry or not very good, and you say, oh, I'm going to throw this seed anyway, you're going to be one day reaping, if you reap some fruit, the fruit is not going to be good. You bite your apple, it's not sweet enough, it's a bit, you know, feeling is not very good, and you say, oh, this apple is not very good. Why? Because behind that, when you threw the seed, you didn't choose a good seed. So everything you put your effort on, throw a good seed. Especially when you do something for God, do always your best. Amen? Because when God blesses us, He always gives us the best thing. What was the best gift God gave to us? Jesus. Salvation. Amen? Do you know when God sent Jesus to the earth to suffer and die for us, He didn't send Jesus because Jesus was a very naughty boy in heaven. He didn't send Jesus, oh wow, you are a very naughty boy, you don't do anything good here in the eternity, so I'm going to send you to the earth to do something. Maybe, you know, yeah, maybe you're going to be restored there. No, God sent His best, the only one. I remember a missionary, he said, I was in India, a missionary was in India doing mission. And one day he was in the edge of the river, and a mom passed by with two kids. One was sick, another one was normal, walking normally. And he said to her, "What are you going to?" She said, "I'm going to the temple to adore my God." You know, in India they have different gods. They are very pagan. They do children's sacrifice also. But he was not aware of it yet. And she said, "I'm just going to the temple to adore my God." And he said, "Okay." And she was carrying a very sick baby and another boy, very healthy baby, very healthy boy. And hours later, she came back just holding the sick one. And he asked her, "Have you done your worship today?" She said, "Yes." "And where is your boy that was walking with you?" She said, "I offered to my God." He thought, if she needs to do this, why didn't offer the sick one? But she offered the best one. And us, as Christians, sometimes, not you guys, just people from our church, we offer to our God anything, any bad quality, anything, any bad equipment, any bad worship, anything we can do, instead of offering Him our best one, our best worship, our best offering, our best fragrance, our best life. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning to say, wow, I need to live my life with Jesus in another dimension, in a new dimension. God gave his best for me. As we just sang this last song that says, God does not owe me anything. I don't come to church to receive blessings. I come to church to worship him. Because God does not owe me anything. He gave me everything he can. Jesus Christ. And he was not a naughty boy. Jesus Christ was the best one in heaven. And he sent him. Amen. So let's change our mentality when we come to the church. Please don't come asking, what does the church can do for me? What God can do for you? Of course, God can do anything for you. But come to worship him. Because when you worship him, then he is doing, at the same time, he's doing everything for you.
Amen.
Amen? So don't worry about anything. Offer your best worship. Offer him your best adoration. Offer him your best thing. I remember one pastor, he went to buy a new instrument for the church. And he came very, as a very humble Christian, you know, in Brazil, they have, in the past, long past, he used to have this mentality that God doesn't, you know, doesn't care about qualities and God accepts anything, you know. And I remember he came to a shop to buy a new guitar. And the guy offered him a Fender one, that is the top one. But he said, no, we, you know, can be some cheaper. What is the cheapest one? It's the one who is made just behind the block here, in a small fabric. And this one is half price. He said, give me this one. And he was holding the guitar and said, wow, fantastic. Okay, the new one, though, it's not the best one, but it's going to do the service. It's going to do the job. When he was about to pay for the instrument, another guy came. And this guy used to be from a very rock and roll band. And that rock and roll was totally offered to devil because they used to use, you know, those images, they used to, you know, like Kiss, you know, offering him all the songs, all the lyrics was clearly for devil. And he said, I want the best guitar today. When he saw it, he said, wow, devil is about to get the best guitar in the shop. And for my God, I'm buying this simple one too. Forget it. Give him the best one. He understood that we need to change our mentality. God deserves our best.
Yeah.
The best your money can buy. Buy it for God. Buy it for God. Amen. So one day we did some campaign to bring some stuff to church, to give to the poor and everything. And I, after 1 week, friends, that was not here, okay? It's not about you guys. We never did it here. But many years ago. 1 week after, we had a room full of rubbish. And I said, let's see what people gave, what people brought for the poor. Friends, there was here broken toys that will never work again. Flip-flops, less than half life. Could use just a few weeks, no more than this. Shoes, wow, even smelling shoes. I said, I called for a small truck, and I put all that stuff and I put it in the dump. I put it in the rubbish. And I said to the church again, listen, when you guys will start to give to somebody things that you would like to receive from somebody,
yes.
Yeah.
Treat people in the way you would like to be treated.
Treat.
Treat. Give people things you'd like to receive. Because the best you give, you're going to receive. The Bible says in the way you measure people, you're going to be measured. Amen?
Amen.
Are you grabbing some message today?
Yeah.
So God is teaching us to invest in a good way. And when we decide to do something for somebody, do until the end. Go until the end. Do your best. Invest your best in people's lives, because from that point, you are going to see good fruit as a result of your job.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's better not to do anything. Amen. We live in a community here. Sometimes people are around and they are in need and we don't even know that. If you have to give something, don't give an old pair of shoes. Go there and buy a new one. And say, Lord, I was about to buy a new pair of shoes for me, but I don't need it. I'm going to buy for somebody else. I'm going to make somebody happy. You're going to see, friends, what a result God's going to send you your life.
Amen.
You will never need any new shoes when you do that. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Matthew 11, verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. When you want to do something significant, it's by force. It's by force. It's by effort. Nobody gets result, good result, for something that you didn't invest your effort. You didn't sweat. You didn't work hard. We must work hard. We must put our force, our effort in something that we believe. So in everything you put your hands on, say, Lord, I'm going to give my best. I know my best is not perfect, and God knows that, but I will give my best. I will give my best. If you give lift to somebody, don't drop them in the middle way. Take them into their door. Do your best. What's the difference? 5-10 minutes more. Are you with me? If you say, I'm going to give you a lift, give a lift properly. Don't drop them at the town center. Do your best in everything. Number three, the last one. We are chosen people to do the work with never giving up. The amazing thing of this, friend, is when you start to see good results, people's gratitude toward you for what you have done, wow, you feel more encouraged to keep doing that. You feel encouraged to keep doing that. And it's amazing when you do something and you are not expecting anything back. Yeah, that's another point. When you do something, do not expect anything. God is faithful and He will reward you. Not every time you help somebody and that person will help you when you need. Not every time. Not every time. Remember, even Jesus went through this circumstance. He healed 10 leprosy guys. How many came to say thank you? One. Jesus. He had 10% result. He healed 10. Just one came to say thank you. Alright? So when we do things for people, when we help people, do not expect anything back from that person. By Him, He knows what you are doing. He knows your heart. He knows your simplicity. He knows your desire to serve. And He will compensate you.
Amen.
Could you tell somebody, God will compensate
you.
Better, much better than the person you served. Much better, much better. So we are chosen people to do the work with never giving up. God chose us, friends, to be effective and successful in everything we do. Amen? He prepared us to be fighters, not cowards. Active, not lazy. Not lazy. Let me tell you something. Some people, not you guys, just people that didn't come. Some people, they do things, but people need to ask. Is it good? Half good. I would say you are good when you don't wait for people to ask. God can show you people are in need and you go in advance. Before people ask, you go and serve them. Then you are good. When you do that without asking, you are good. In your job, let me tell you something. In your job, if you do just things when your boss said you to do, and your boss say what you have to do, and you do this, fine, you are half good. But you are good when you do things without asking for it. When your boss come and say, wow, I was about to ask you to do this, and you have done this. Then you are good. Then you are good. Amen? What is it? Let me tell you something. We must be proactive. Say with me, proactive.
Proactive.
When you do something that people ask you to do, you are active. But being proactive is something that you have a vision. And you know he's going to ask you to do this. And you do before he comes. If you are in your job, if you are looking for improvement of your salary, promotion, think about it. Think about it. Nobody's going to come to you in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to promote you. I'm going to give you a better salary. If you don't prove you are proactive. When they see you are proactive, then they start to say, oh, wow, this guy needs a better position. And let's put him up. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay? Luke 9:62. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 62 says, but Jesus said to him, no one had put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That means when you decide to do something, don't look back. Looking back is actually, it's like a repentance. It's like you are planning to give up. It's planning to stop what you are doing. No. When you decide to do something, when you put your hands in the plow, do you know plow? People from this generation don't know what plow is. Do you know plow?
Yeah.
Plow is that tool that put an animal ahead, okay, and the plow goes to cut the earth for them to put the seed after. The ground. So those who put their hands in the plow and they start to look beside, oh, have a coffee. They are thinking in giving up. But when you put your hands in the plow, put your focus in there. Otherwise, you are going to cut the ground very, very, you know, not in line. And this is not going to be good. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. Let's move on. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand up, please. How much does your effort cost? That's the question. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes? And just think about it. Think about things that you have done. And sometimes you say, Lord, I have done so many things and I can't see result. I can't see the compensation of my effort. I can't see too much. That is the moment you are in the plow, but you are starting to look back. But I tell you now, in the name of Jesus, run the race as the one who is going to be on the top of the podium. Paul said, run the race. Only one in the race is going to be there at the first place in the podium. Be the one that's going to be there. Be the one that's going to win. Put your effort. Fight a good fight. Put your effort in everything you do. In your job, in your family, in the church, among your friends. Everything you put your effort to do, do your best. Because God deserves our best. And everything we receive from Him is a very high quality. It's a very high quality. Offer to your Lord, offer to God always the best as you can. Perfect. This is not never going to be. Because not, God knows we are not perfect. But when you do your best, God knows you are giving your limit, your effort. He knows everything. Let me pray for you now. How many of you in this room would you like to say, God, if you can use me, please use me. And I promise you, I'm gonna give you my best. You can count on it. It's not gonna be perfect, but it's gonna be my best. The best as I can. When I serve somebody, when I bless somebody, when I visit somebody, when I'm doing somebody, when I'm doing something for somebody in my job, I just want to do my best. I just want to offer my best. Help us to be proactive. Help us to be proactive. To have a vision before anyone to say first. I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for your lessons, your principles. Let us get it now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you.